Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm a friend of Marines of today. On this different year. And other than this, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name, Jesus. We praise your name. We glorify your name. Holy is your name. Holy is your name, Jesus. We thank you and we praise you, O God, for this morning, for this opportunity to come and break bread this morning. We are excited this morning. We don't have to go to the job today, so we're going to break bread. We had sent out a message for the prophets to come and bring a word, but you never responded. Now, we are not going to be calling or sending message to anybody else to come and minister unless we maybe Evangelist Campbell. We know she's going to come anywhere. So we're going to leave it as that. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We honor you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Father God, to move in our midst, O God. Move in our midst, Lord. We ask you to bless us. Bless us to hear your word today by the Spirit and to speak your word by the Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, O God, we praise you, we glorify you, and we honor you. in the mighty name of Jesus. We're going to talk today about those who call upon the Lord with a heart of repentance will be forgiven. Let us go into the word right now. 2 Chronicles, hallelujah, chapter 7. Computers want to act up, but I tell you. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, NLT, New Living Translation. And we're going to begin at verse 11. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 11. This is the response to Solomon. So Solomon finished the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he had planned to do in the construction of the temple and the palace. In other words, he built the house of the Lord, and he also built his own house, the palace of the king. He is the king, King Solomon. He completes everything that he has planned to do. You know, sometimes we ought to be thinking, pleading, are we on the verge of completing what God has given us to do? Or are we still stagnated, doing our own thing, doing what we want to do? What makes us push our shoulders backward and proclaim that we are it? A lot of people do that. They say, I don't want to be in the church. I don't have to go to the church. I don't have to assemble in the church. I can stay at home and do my own thing. I don't have to fellowship. Here, Solomon finished the house of the Lord and his house. Then one night, the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple place for making sacrifices. Now, if the Lord don't choose a place to, for you to sacrifice, you can go there all you want to and perform sacrificial acts. God is not there. He is not coming there because he has not chosen that place. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, I want to go to the mountain and talk to the Lord. But have they consulted the Lord to meet them there? Have you prayed about going to the mountain? Or you just want to go to the mountain because you hear preachers say how they go to the mountain and spend time with the Lord? We're trying to do what everybody else is doing. The Bible says that the Lord spoke, appeared to Solomon, and he told Solomon, I heard your prayers. I heard your prayer. And I have chosen this temple, this house that you have built for my presence to come and dwell there. He says to Solomon, at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops and send plagues upon you. Listen to what the Lord is saying to the king. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land or heal their lands. Listen to what the Lord is saying to Solomon. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it. for it is dear to my heart. Blog Talk Radio is dear to the Lord's heart. He's given this to us, for us to glorify his name. This is why we repent. This is why we come and we make supplications to the Lord. We offer our hearts, our minds, our souls to him as living sacrifice. Let's go up now to Hosea. Let's go to Hosea chapter 14. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hosea 14, the last book. Hosea 14, start at verse 9. We're talking about repentance today. Those who call upon the Lord with a heart of repentance will be forgiven. We started with the scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 to 16. Now here in Hosea chapter 14, the last chapter, we want to read 9 verses to you, talking about healing for repentance. We have to submit our hearts to God. People of God, children of the Most High, we have to submit our hearts to God. It is time out for playing church. The world is trying to destroy us. It doesn't want to hear about Jesus. The majority of them don't want to hear about God. They want to hear about stuff that suffice their flesh. They want to say, well, I can, they want you to tell them it's okay for them to continue in sin. It's okay as long as they're happy. They say it this way, as long as I'm happy, as long as I'm loving somebody, they call it loving. When they're doing living men with men and women with women, even living with dogs and all types of animals they're having sex with now. Men and women. They're having what they call bestiality. They're having sex with animals because the Bible talks about that. It talks about that they will be having sex with animals. Hallelujah, glory to God. But here in the book of Hosea, the prophet said, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. For your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord, say to him. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. See, the Lord is not receiving the praises from the unrepentant heart. He's not receiving them. They're stuck up in their own ways, in their own doings, and they say, well, we have big house, big car. We making plenty of money on our jobs. We don't need the Lord. That's what they say to themselves. And so many words, when we're not spending time with him, we're not fasting and praying and seeking his face and turning from our wicked ways, God not receiving our praise. He not receiving our offerings. We say, I give to the poor. I give to the widows. I give to the orphans. But God said, I'm not recognizing what you're doing. You're doing that out of your flesh so you can be seen, so you can be heard. What I want you to do is come to me with a heart of repentance. Come to me acknowledging your sin. Like David did in Psalm 51. God called him a man after his own heart. And he's calling for us to do. He says, Assyria cannot save you, nor can our war horses. Neither again will we say to the idols, we have made you our own gods. No. In you alone do the orphans find mercy. The Lord says, then I will heal you of your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. The Lord is gracious. He is merciful. All we need to do, you and I, us, we, all we need to do is humble ourselves and turn to the Lord with a heart of repentance. He will forgive us. He said, I will be to Israel like a refreshing dew from heaven. Israel will blossom like the lily. It will send roots deep into the soil like the cedar in Lebanon. Its branches will spread out like beautiful olive trees, as fragrant as the cedar of Lebanon. My people will again live under my shade. The Lord is saying that once we repent and we turn from our wicked ways, that he will cover us. He will be our protection. He will be our shield and our buckler. Do you hear what he says? He says, my people will again live under my shade. That's his protection. They will flourish like a grain and blossom like grapevines. There will be a fragrant as the wines of Lebanon. Hallelujah, glory to God. We are going to flourish, says the Lord. All the Lord is calling for us to do is repent. This is what he's calling for. He said, oh, Israel, stay away from idols. I am the one who answers your prayers and cares for you. I am like a tree that is always green. All your fruit comes from me. Listen, listen, listen. Your fruit are not coming from the world. I know this for a fact, because when I pray and I ask God to give me a job so I can help the helpless, it doesn't last. It doesn't stay long before I hear somebody call my phone and ask me if I can come and do this or do that, doing a job for them. Because God, he orchestrated. Verse 9 says, this is Hosea chapter 14, verse 1 to 9. We read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 to 16. We're talking about repentance today. Let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. The paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them. But in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. Now you hear this. We have no other choice, people. This word is going forth over the airways. Early this morning, I wasn't going to come on because I thought I was going to go and close out on this job this morning. But the owner called, texted me early this morning. They called me and said that the tile man didn't finish the tile. And the man, the carpenter, putting down the floors, the new floors, the floor man didn't put down the floors. So we can't get into that place not till next Thursday or Friday if the Lord say the same. So we just went through my notebooks, and I start to look up different teachings that I did, and this one jump off. Those who call upon the Lord with a heart of repentance will be forgiven. See, people are calling, and they're wondering why it seems like nothing is happening for them. Well, it's because their hearts are not right. They're not set their heart for repentance. They're just saying, well, I'm going in because if I go, and the Lord is going to hear me, the Lord is going to go to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. No, we have to have a heart of repentance. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1 to 7. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. See, the Lord wants us to turn from sin. He wants us to turn away from the corruption that's going on in the earth. The earth right now is filled with sin, filled with corruption. I was looking at something last night. This commentator was talking on YouTube, and he was talking about the White House, and he was talking about President Truman way back, and even the new administration, and he was talking about this mirror. Oh my God, he's talking about this mirror that's in the White House, and it's on Facebook, it's a beautiful looking mirror. But then when you go around the edges of the mirror from the top to the bottom, everything about the mirror is satanic. They got a statue that is carved into the woods. It's like oak surrounding the mirror. Very beautiful carving. But it's a statue of Baphomet, the devil, the goat head with the horns and hoofs on the top of the mirror. And like the people go and look at the mirror and they begin to talk to the mirror. Talk to the spirit that's over that mirror. I said, wow. It's in the White House. There was like thousands of people that touched or tagged the post, and all these different people, different nationalities, different countries were saying that they need to remove that mirror from the White House. But get to find out that President Truman was a Mason. He was some, I don't remember, they said 70 degree or something, but he was the highest level in the Mason that you can go to. I don't know too much about the different degrees that they have, but he was the highest degree that you can go to in the Masons. God is saying for us, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this land. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to have safety. Trust not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, and if you truly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I give to your fathers forever and ever. The Lord has already blessed his people. And the people turn away, rejected God for the world system. This is what the people do. And God says, when I was studying this morning, the thing that came to me that he is gracious and he's merciful. And he don't have to beg the people or plead to the people, but he is such a merciful God that he's pleading with them to turn from their wicked ways, to amend their ways and come back to him. Why? Because he wants to bless the people. But the people are so committed to what they're seeing, what is before their eyes, what they can see, what they can touch, that they don't have the patience to wait on God. They don't have the patience. They want it when they want it, and they want it now. They have a microwave mindset. The majority of the people. Let's go to Micah. Micah chapter 3. Glory to God. Micah chapter 3, the NLT, New Living Translation, verse 1 to 7. Judgment against Israel leaders. This is where the topic sin and Savior. But our topic for today says those who call upon the Lord with a heart of repentance will be forgiven. That is the topic for today. Here the prophet says, God is speaking. He said, I said, listen, you leaders of Israel. You are supposed to know right from wrong. Pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are supposed to know right from wrong. Ushers, deacons, elders, they're supposed to know right from wrong. How come that we find ourselves divin' and dabbing into sin? We're supposed to know. This is what God is saying. We're supposed to know right from wrong, but yet still you are seeing that we find ourselves divin' and dabbing in the world system. God drew us out of darkness into the marvelous light, but we find ourselves slipping out of the light, slipping back into darkness like nobody can see. Not too much the people, but like God can't see and he can't hear. Listen to what he says. But you are the very ones who hate good and love evil. So many leaders today are dibbing and dabbing in witchcraft, soothsaying, tarot card reading, Ouija boards, palm reading, all this stuff because they want to know their future. They can't wait on God to lead them. They can't wait till the good shepherd to take them to the fresh, clean water, to the fresh pasture. They want to go and find it for themselves. Hallelujah. This is why folk are sacrificing their children. They're drinking blood, eating hearts and livers and kidneys and all of this stuff. And the navel cords, they're drinking the substance of the baby navel cord because it's believed it's going to make them young again. Do you hear me? God said that they should know better. He said, but you are the very ones who hate good and love evil. Your skin. You skin my people alive and tear their flesh from their bones. Now, you know that they know they're doing what they call it, cannibalism. These folks that have all of this money are eating human flesh and drinking blood. And you have some of these bishops, the big ones that have the millions, multi-millions, they are in trying with that stuff too. Going to Hollywood, and they're with who is who. They're with who is who because they like to get those million-dollar checks for their birthday. And they don't mind drinking blood and eating people's bodies, eating human flesh, baking with all types of spices. It's wickedness. God says so. They ought to be falling good, but they're falling evil. Listen, listen, listen. He says, verse 3 says, you, yes, you eat my people's flesh. Strip off their skin and break their bones. You chop them up like meat for the cooking pot. This is what God says. And this word was written before I was born, before any of us on this line today was born. But God had it penned in the book because the people were doing it back then and they're doing it still. They're doing it now. Hallelujah. How much witchcraft went on in Africa with our four parents? Here in the United States with our four parents. In the Caribbean with our four parents. And now Africa is becoming two continents. Because all of a sudden it's splitting in half. The ocean is coming through Africa now, making it two continents. Wickedness is all over. But we'd rather go and preach about prosperity and you can have this if you just ask for it. If you just look to the heaven and say you want it, you can call it, you can name it, but say name it and claim it. But that's not what the Bible tells me. He said, if I amend my ways, if I turn from the things that I've been doing, stop doing what I've been doing that with corruption and lying and cheating. He said, I would allow me to dwell in that place, in that holy place, in that place where he has provided all that we need for us before the foundation of the world. God said he has already provided what we need. But we have a part to play in order to receive these blessings. We have to stop to walk the walk and stop only talking the talk. Listen what he says. He said, then you beg the Lord for help in times of trouble. Do you really expect him to answer? You think you can preach the gospel and sing and dance and talk about your neighbors and cut up these people and tear people down and rob people and hurt people and don't pay your debts and all this kind of stuff, and then God will hear you and bless you? Listen to what he's saying. It's in the word of God. David Callan is not saying this. This is what God says. He said, after you did all this stuff, you're eating your brother's body. You're drinking their blood. You're breaking the bones and cooking it in soup and making porridge. You have stew with your brother, flesh inside a pot. You're wicked. He says, then you beg the Lord for help in times of trouble. Do you really expect him to answer? After all the evil you have done, he won't even look at you. Oh, my Lord Jesus, you tell somebody that. You see, folk, you can get sick. Hey, God is so faithful. He knows the enemy trying to attack your body. But he knows that you are living for him. You have decided to turn away from sin. You decide to walk away completely from sinning, corruption. And God will heal you. He will heal you. I've seen preachers right way down with strokes and everything. Couldn't talk. Young, much younger than I am. In the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Step in the room and brought him out. I saw him do it with my own eyes. Ain't nobody tell me. I saw it with my own eyes. I've seen him in the hospital room. The Spirit of God come in the hospital room, and the doctor said that the young woman, she's not going to live. She's not going to make it. She was hooked up to all types of machines. Glory to God. And God came in there and touched that young woman. Doctors laughed at us when we were in the room praying. Doctors and nurses laughed. And God went in there and do what only God can do, not what David Callan or Evangelist Brown can do, but what he can do. Listen to what he's saying to us. This is for all of us to hear. Because if we continue the way we're going, we're going to be left behind. You can pray as much. You can have prayer service from now to next week. If we don't turn away from our lifestyle, from our conniving, corruption way of thinking and doing, you're not going to see. The power is not going to manifest in your ministry. You're just going to make a lot of noise. That's all. Listen. He says, this is what the Lord says. You false prophets are leading my people astray. This is what God says. You promise peace for those who give you food, but you declare war on those who refuse to feed you. See, those who will give you offerings and write you big checks and stuff, you prophesy a lie to them. The word that's coming out of your mouth is prophetic lies. It's not the truth. God has not said anything through you. This is why they're still the same way. This is what the Lord says. You prophets, false prophets are leading my people astray. You promise peace for those who give you food or give you tithes and offerings. Always looking around them, give you new cars, new suits, new robes, new jewelry, everything they buy for you, take you to the mall and tell you, buy whatever you want to. Pick up whatever you want. There's no problem. They got say, I got you. Because you're prophesying what they want to hear not what they need to hear. He said, now the night will close around you, cutting off all your visions. Darkness will cover you, putting an end to your predictions. The sun will set for your prophets, and your day will come to an end. Hear what the Lord's saying. He's talking about death right now. Not literal sun shutting down or moon going dark. Their life is going to come to an end. Closing off life from them because they're prophesying lies to the people. When tell the people that they need to stop sinning, that they need to repent and turn to God, turn from their wicked ways, they will tell the people that, oh, you okay. God will forgive you. Just know that God loves you. Yes, he loves you, but he don't love your sin. Hallelujah. He loves you, but he don't love you when I sin. That's why I got to ask God all the time to order my steps. Hallelujah. I wanted to go yesterday evening, and my flesh was saying, go to the store. And I heard the Lord so plain, says, don't go anywhere. Just stay right here. Stay right here and study. You can go tomorrow. But I went out this morning, pick up what I needed, most of what I needed. And then the guy texted me and called me. He said the job wasn't ready for me to come. So I said, okay, well, I will get something because I had sent a message to the prophetess, but she never responded to me. So, you know, I'm not sending anybody no more messages to come and teach. If somebody want to preach the word, they tell me. Say, well, Pastor, can I preach this day or can I preach that day? And I say, well, okay, the Lord said the same. But I'm not asking anybody because every time I ask people, they have an excuse or they don't respond. I'm not going to do it anymore. Then when I'm able to come on and bring the word. If I'm not able, I do it another time. Then the you seers will be put to shame, and you fortune tellers will be disgraced. Hear what the Lord said? God, some of these people that say, calling themselves seers and all this stuff, they're not really true seers. They're saying things out of their own flesh, not what God says. Because you know what I say? Lord, if I speak a word that you didn't call me to say, cause my tongue to cling to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word. Because my only objective is to glorify God, to edify the body, and terrify the devil. I'm not trying to get accolades. I don't want to say things that sound eloquent in all of these words that you want to hear from the dictionary. Just, well, he's well-learned. She's well-learned. I don't care about that stuff. What I want to do is that I'm hearing the Spirit of God speaking to my spirit to speak to his people. Because remember, they're not yours. We are just watchmen. He says, then you seers will be put to shame and you fortune tellers will be disgraced and you will cover your faces because there is no answer from God. See, where would they want to tell lies and then go to ask God for answers after they lie on God? God say this, God say that. But he says, listen, as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord. I am filled with justice and strength to boldly declare Israel's sin and rebellion. Are you bold enough? Are you bold enough to tell the people when they are sinning, when their lifestyle does not line up with what they're proclaiming? Are you bold enough to tell them the truth? Or you are prophesying lies to them and let them die and go to hell. Go to let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. I just want to put a word up here because it really hurts me when I'm out and I can't bring a word or get a word on the teaching because people, oh, they send me messages from all the different countries and And they said, where did we even get a message from you? Where you are? What's going on? Are you all right? One person sent me a message yesterday. Are you okay? Is everything okay? That's okay. Just trying to do a little bit of work. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. He says, let us stop going over the basic teaching about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. See, once we get to know the truth, we ought not have to go over and over and over and over. We need to start living it. Start living the truth. Why does pastor got to come and beat you all the time and tell you that you have to do the same thing that he's been telling you for the last 20, 25 years? For the last 5 years, last 10 years, last 15 years, he's been telling you the same thing and you're still doing what you want to do, expecting different results. You're foolish. We have to change it. We have to start walking according to God's word. God's word is a true word. It's in us. We heard it. Even when we were youngsters and going to Sunday school, the same word was being taught to us. And now we're grown up, we're still getting the same word, and we still can't live it. We're still hearing the same truth, the same gospel, but we still can't live it. We find it hard to live it because we want to fit in with the Joneses. We want to fit in with the Jeffersons. We want to walk with the neighbors. The neighbors go and contribute. We want to please them. I want to fit in with them. I want to be able to go to the cookouts. I want to be able to go to the family gatherings, so I have to succumb to them. No. Two cannot walk together unless they're in agreement. You got to make up in your mind. Are you in agreement with them or are you in agreement with God? 2 Corinthians. I'm in the NLT, so staying over here today, jumping back and forth. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, I taught on this thing somewhere about in 2014 or somewhere around there. And for some reason, when I didn't get thank the Lord this morning, when I found that way, I had to go to work, the Lord just told me, go and look in your notebooks. I had all the scriptures written down there. Should be a score there. Here in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians, Paul began to talk to the church at Corinth about repentance. So powerful. He is here in Macedonia. But here he says this verse that really hit me is verse 10. He said, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There is no regret for that kind of sorrow. He's talking about godly sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Do you hear what the apostle is saying? A lot of people would say they're sorry because it sounds good to your ear. And it feels good coming off their tongue when they say, I'm sorry that I offended you. But for real, they don't really mean it. It's godly sorrow. And eventually it leads to death because what happens is if you mess up, they want to take you out. They remember what you've done to them before. The worldly sorrow that they have. They remember. They're really sorry. Hallelujah. They haven't really repent. And then the person there, sometimes not even really forgive. So I forgive you. And Lot goes along and say, I forgive you, but I ain't gonna forget what you did to me. When we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. Paul is talking. But God encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. God is going to send you some help. When you are discouraged, God will give you help to encourage you. Hallelujah, glory to God. When folk leave you and left you by yourself and thinking that you can't stand flat footed in God, God has sent you some help. All you have to do is hold on to his unchanging and unremovable hand. Hold on to his hand and keep doing what God called you to do. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you give up because help is gone. His presence was a joy, Titus' presence. But so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. You see, Titus now bringing news to the apostle, hallelujah, of the saints, how the saints were doing. When he taught us how much you long to see me and how sorry you are for what happened and how loyal you are to me, I was filled with joy. Hallelujah, glory to God. Do you know when the preacher knew that you were standing with her, standing with him, that it fills the preacher's heart, even if it's not about money? It's about relationship. I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. No, I am glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants his people to have, so you were not harmed by us in any way. Sometimes you have to tell the congregational members. You got to tell them the word that is harsh. It might hurt you to deliver it, but you got to deliver it. Like that mailman sometimes. Well, the mailman sometimes brings some letters that you don't like. It may be a bill that you thought you escaped. But they say that bill, and they say when they give you 60 days or some time to get in touch with them. If not, if you don't get in touch with them, sometimes they tell you 30 days or something like that, they will take you to the collection agency, or they will take you to court. You didn't want that bill. But it makes sense to you after you read it, because you realize they didn't send you a summons, but they send you a notice that you don't have to know, expect to get a summons and go to court. That's not, so God send us some words. Give us some words. You want to go? God send us some words sometime that we need to get to wake us up from where we are to, so we can get where we need to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't feel good. Excuse me. It don't feel good. Some words that we need to hear sometimes so we can get on track and be on track to do the things that God called us to be, that we can become the people that God called us to be. He's ordained us to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If nobody give you no ice cream and cake, you don't want no ice cream and cake message. All they're going to do is keep you going on the path that you don't want to be on. Paul says he was a little sorry when he sent the message, but in a sense, he said, I know it was going to hurt you. But in a sense, he said, I was happy then, because it drove you to your knees. It drove you to the place of repentance, true repentance. God repentance leads to results in salvation. Hallelujah, glory to God. To people that turn from sin and turn to him. Hallelujah. Begin to live for him. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Hallelujah, glory to God. I hope you're getting something on this, because I'm getting a lot. This is just waking my spirit up. Luke chapter 13. Let's look at verse 3. Well, let's start at verse 4. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murmured some. Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as there were offering sacrifice at the temple. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffer? Or they were put to death? Not at all. And you will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. unless you repent, you will perish too. A lot of times we got to a place sometime in our walking, in our talking, in our living, that we would put ourselves on a pedestal that we are not as bad as that person over there. You know, this is what we say. I'm not as bad as him. Well, hey, you know, they sell dope. I don't sell no dope. But you lie. You gossip. You fornicate. You do all the things that God said thou shalt not do. Remember, you can't say, well, I don't do this over here, but I do this over there. God looking at everything that we do. Hallelujah. If you do one sin, it's just like if you did all. So we have to get to a place where we repent and ask God to strengthen us in the areas of our life that we're weak, because none of us are strong enough that we can say, well, look, I'm on the solid rock right now. I don't got to worry.
You know, so that the praise team could come up with some song they know how to sing. I wonder if I'm not on mute, man. I don't want to disturb Pastor County.
No, your phone is open, Pastor, your phone is open. Your phone is open, Apostle. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 2. We just jump into some scriptures here. Romans chapter 2, let's pull up something here. Here, we're talking about this repentance. This is powerful. You know, a lot of times you hear so much of these prolific preachers and all they're talking about you. Oh, God wants to bless you. I want you to know that God wants you to have. God wants you to have this. And God, you know, he's a God of blessing. He wants to bless you and he wants you to prosper. All this stuff. But they don't tell the people about sin. People are sinning in the church, man. We want to fix the world, but we got to be fixed. Hear what I'm saying? I'm included. We have to be fixed. The leaders of the house of the Lord need to be fixed. If we think it in our minds, it's just as well. Jesus said, it's just as if we're doing it. He said, well, I don't cuss no more. But if you have a cussed thought in your mind, you better ask God to clean your thoughts. If you're holding something in your mind against your brother, ask God to help you to forgive your brother, to clean your thoughts, your sister, all this stuff we're dealing with. Hallelujah. This is why did God drop this in my spirit this morning. He dropped this in my spirit. We did this message back in 2014. Those who call upon the Lord with a heart of repentance will be forgiven. And this heart of repentance means that they're turning away from their sinful way of living. He told them that if they amend their ways, turn away from their evil, he would allow them to dwell in the land and that he would cover them. He would protect them. This is what he says. Here in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he says, don't you see how wonderful, kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? When we are going through so much stuff is happening all around us, and we are protected, and we take his protection lightly. We make light of his protection. Like when he invites the folks to come to the banquet, to the marriage supper. And they run off and wait till one goes to his farm, another one goes to his business, and so on. We make light of what God is doing for us, his protection on our lives. When people are dying from stuff that we're living with, we don't want to praise God. Go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We're just going through the scripture. Romans chapter 3, and we're talking about those who call upon the Lord in repentance will be forgiven. A heart of repentance that will be forgiven. Romans chapter 3. He says, verse 21, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. You know, in the time of Moses, in the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Israel, There was so much, the law was so much for people. That you have to remember everything, every I, cross every I, and cross every T, and dot every I, excuse me. We had to make everything had to be done right according to the law. But Jesus came and extend grace, mercy and grace to us, our merchant favor, giving us a chance that we're able to come to the Father in his name and receive forgiveness of our sins. He gave us the spirit of repentance so we can repent and turn away from sin. But we want to just say, as long as I say repent, that's it. It's not just saying, it's repentance. It's an action word. It's an action word just like love. You say, I love you, but you don't give her flowers. You don't show her love. You don't talk good to her. You know? You say, I repent, but I'm still doing the same thing. You haven't repent. Oh, I repent for lying. You're still lying. I repent for cussing. No, you haven't repent. Hallelujah. Your heart is loaded down with this heavy weight, this heavy burden in your heart because you got all this stuff. We got so much stuff in our heart that we wouldn't even allow God to move it. The one who can clean our heart and give us a clean heart and a right spirit, we wouldn't allow him to do it. Because we are puffed up full of pride and arrogance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. And we all fall short of the glorious standard of God. Hallelujah. We read in Romans chapter 3, verse 21 down to verse 31 if we get this far, the Lord says. We want to put some word on here because people got to understand that there's a way out of sin. There's a way out of corruption. There's a way out of the lifestyle of this worldly system. That's what the world is showing us. There's a way out. There's a way in Jesus. He is the way out of sin, out of condemnation, out of judgment. He is the way out. Hallelujah. The blood is still fresh. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The blood is still fresh. The blood is still powerful. The blood is still awesome. The blood is still, oh, God, full of mercy and grace. Glory to God. Listen to what it says. Yet, verse 24, yet God freely and graciously declared that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in time past. Oh, my God, what a place. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's a place to praise God right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where he should have punished me. Hallelujah. Should have let me die in the crack house, in the whole house. Oh, my God. When I was on the street doing all that crazy stuff, he had a big punishment. He had it back. The merciful God, the gracious God, he had it back from each and every one of us that's on this Blog Talk Radio Church line today and from those that are listening by way of laptop, computer, how are you listening? Wind up phone, wherever the country, a nation, a continent that you're in, God has held back his punishment. That's why you can still, be breathing right now and have a chance to say, thank you, Jesus. Verse 26. Listen, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. See, Jesus is the key, not what you do. Excuse me. Not how much checks I write, not how much money I give to the poor, to the widows, to the fatherless, to the orphans, but what Jesus did on the cross. We are made right, those of us that believe, those of us that repent of our sins, and those of us that believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We are made the righteousness in Christ, in God, through Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! You don't want to believe in him? You want to believe in the world system? You continue to see what's going to happen to you. You want to believe in your big car? Your money in the bank, but the government getting ready to take your money right now. They're getting ready to confiscate your money. The spending that we have, they're getting ready to confiscate your money. You teach them, Mike Murdoch was a multimillionaire, went to the bank, they didn't want to give his money. They didn't want to give his own money. He's a millionaire. Hallelujah, glory to God. People want to make money in the church, they would invite Mike Murdoch. They would invite him to the church, and he would raise thousands upon thousands of dollars for the church. Little church, big church. People, when he starts to minister, and he talks about what God has done with him through the books, people start writing checks. And he couldn't get his own money out the bank. Put your mind on Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What you get, what he allows you to have, enjoy it, share it with other people. But don't put your faith in it. It's not going to stand. He said, Paul says, he said, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No. Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith, faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What he has done on the cross. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Listen, after all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There is only one God. And he makes people right with himself only by faith. You see, Jesus is God. He is the God that Paul is talking about. He is the Father. He is the Son. And he is the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that. Glory to God. Whether they are Jews or Gentiles, well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. And see, the law is a schoolmaster. And it helps us to see where we are going wrong. And we develop our faith as we are studying these instructions in the law to live by faith. And not by sight. Trust in Jesus. Go to Psalm 81, 84. Psalm 84. Glory to God. Holy Jesus. How time goes so fast. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Just put up one verse here. Maybe two. I don't know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is more than money. My spirit is so full right now, I tell you. It's so full. Here is Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12. He says, for the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Our Lord of heaven's army, what joy for those who trust in you. What joy God has for us when we trust in him, when we depend on him, when we rely on him. I'm talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you trust him, when you believe on him, hallelujah, he rejoices in our obedience, not our sacrifices. He rejoices in our obedience when we trust him, depend on him, rely on him. and make a decision to walk, to follow him. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Just want to give you a few more here, and then we're gonna pray. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgives our sin. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mystery plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At that right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. This is why you got to stay focused and you got to stay connected. We talked about the vine last week. You got to stay connected. You're the branch. The branch can do nothing of itself. You get your nourishments from the vine. Jump down to verse 18. I pray that your heart will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confidence, hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. You got to know this. He said, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Do you know you the church? And Christ is watching over you right now. Go to chapter 2 of Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 7. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saves you by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast of it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You hear me? It's already ordained by God for us to live a life that glorifies him. This is what God is. We are sitting around trying to figure things out. It's already in the Word. God ordained us to live a life that glorifies him. This is what he did. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. We're talking about those who call upon the Lord with a heart of repentance will be forgiven. Here, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. God is faithful. And he blessed are those who wait for his help. Don't try to do things on your own. This is when all of us, you, me, all of us get in trouble. We get in trouble every time we try to do things on our own. God puts it in the book here. He reveals to us that we have to wait on him. He told you that in Psalm 27. We got to wait on the Lord. Don't move ahead of the Lord. The devil is slick. Satan is slick. We're never going to give him no honor. But he is slick. He's cunning. He's subtle. When you think it's the Lord, Satan slips in there like the serpent he is, like the demon he is, and con you out of your blessing. Give you something right up because you have that microwave mindset. You can't wait on the Lord. We're going to go around every way that we can do to get it, to work it out. God said, just wait on me, son. Daughter, wait on me. I got blessings for you that you have not seen, you can't comprehend. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We thank you for blessing us to hear you today. And Lord, thank you for giving us that heart of repentance, Lord God, that we can come before you and lay all our troubles before you, Lord, because we know that you hear us. Father, we don't proclaim to have arrived, gotten to that place that we can testify that we made it, but we have gotten to the place that we know that you're the one. You are the one who is keeping us here. We are not able to keep ourselves. Lord, we have faced so many changes, so many challenges in the last month or so. But Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, and you are my God. You are my Savior. I thank you for keeping me secure and keeping me with sound mind and giving me clear understanding, with open vision to see what you're showing me. Lord, I ask you to touch the hearts of all those that are on the line right now, those that are listening far and listening near. And Lord, if there's anyone sick in their body, Lord, I ask you to heal their body. Heal their spirit. Lord, we ask you to forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us, Lord. Father, we ask you to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, there's somebody out there today that is suffering. They have got reports from the doctors. Some even got reports from the judges that they will not be able to see the outside of the jail room. They will die in jail. But Father, we know that you are a way maker. We ask you to show up in the person's life and give them life eternal, Lord. Even if they die in the jail, their soul will not stay in the jail, but you will receive their soul. Father, we pray for healing for cancers today, lupus, for gout, asthmatic symptoms. Lord, we ask you to heal today. Some people have brain tumors, breast tumors, lungs, kidneys, liver. Oh, God, we ask you to heal hearts today. Open arteries and cause the blood to flow freely today. And, Father, for those that have backslidden, those that have not known you and the pardon of their sin, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would intervene right now. Lord, according to John 3 and 16 and John 3 and 17 and 19 and Acts 2 and 38 and Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, Lord, that they would hear your voice, O God. They would say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, let them know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one can come to the Father except through you. Father, you have sent your Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You did not send your Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We know, Father God, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Father, we ask you today to let the light of your Son shine in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls today. Lord, this world is going upside down. They're spreading out to nuclear war. The different nations are testing the nuclear weapons and stuff. are all over in the Atlantic Ocean. But Father, we ask, God, that you govern these leaders. Oh, Father, touch the hearts and minds of these leaders, oh God. Because every war begins in the mind. Every war begins in the mind. Father, we ask you to touch those that are not saved today. Glory to God. Those that call upon you, call upon Jesus' name in repentance, Lord. We ask you to answer them now. Let them know that you're ready and willing to save their lives. Just doing this the way the Holy Spirit is giving it to me right now. I said in the scriptures that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans chapter 3, 23. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life to Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6 and 23. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 8 that God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Peter told them to repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's very important that you know there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if all the people are telling that there's many ways to be saved. The Bible declares, Jesus said it and the apostles said it, that he is the only way. There's no other way. People are having all types of beliefs on salvation, but there's only way to redemption. And that way is Jesus. If you don't know him today as Lord and Savior, and if you knew him, and you have turned away from him because of what the world was showing you, what you were seeing happening to the world, in the world, and you went back into the world, and you know you need to get back because the hour is getting late. Jesus says, work while there's light, because when darkness comes, when night comes, no one can work. So when death comes, you know, when death comes, you can't say what you need to say, or you can't do what you need to do to receive the gift of salvation. The light is here now to shine upon your path, to show you the right path to walk on, to travel. And that light is Jesus. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, just say this for me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe the word that says, if I confess in my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess you now as Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart what you did at Calvary for my sins. You paid a debt that I owed that I could not pay. And today, Lord Jesus, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I am coming to you just as I am, a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord Jesus, my heart is open, and I'm welcoming you to come in. Come in and sit on the throne of my heart. Be the Lord of my life, the leader of my soul, the keeper of my soul. Jesus, I receive you now as I repent for every sin that I have ever committed in my life. I ask you to wash them away with your blood of redemption. Cleanse me and make me whiter than snow. I know if you heal me, I'll be healed. You save me, I'll be saved. And even now, I receive that gift that you have given at Calvary when you gave your life. I receive the gift of salvation right now. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. and setting me free from the pit of hell, from the clutches of Satan and his agents. Lord Jesus, I ask you to clear my thoughts. Clear my thoughts. Wash them with your blood and remove all the corruption and all the dirty filthiness that's been clouding my brain, my thoughts, that all the goodness of the Holy Spirit can flow in me and through me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray. If you just said that on common prayer and you believe in your heart, and we're talking about repentance today, and it means you have to start right here, right now. Turn away from all the things. Some you may have to let go of some family members. That don't mean that you hate them. Because, you know, people say, well, I got to go back because this is my family. Well, they're your family. Some family members, you don't have to go back, but you can pray for them. I have family members right here in Boston that I don't visit because their lifestyle don't line up. I pray for them. I pray for them. And you have to do the same thing if you want to walk for Jesus. When he called his disciples, they had to leave everything. They leave their families. They leave their work, their occupation. They leave everything, and they follow him. He told you that if you're going to follow him, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, deny yourself, your father, your mother, your sister, your brother. You're going to have to forget about them, especially when they're living contrary to the way that God wants you to live. You're going to have to be ready to, willing and ready to walk this path. It's not an easy path. It's a path that's filled with temptations because the enemy is standing on the side of the pathway, tempting you, don't want you to stay on that path. You have to make up in your mind, I'm going to walk for Christ. If I lose everything and everyone, I'm still going to walk for Christ. Got to make up in your mind. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And sometimes you're not physically leaving the body. But you got to leave some things. You got to leave some things in this world that are going to take you away from Christ. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you have a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ, the apostles that we teach about, the doctrine that is the same doctrine. The apostle doctrine, Jesus doctrine, John the Baptist doctrine, is all the same. All the same. You want to make sure that you speak in his doctrine. Don't get into the prosperity message. That's not going to do nothing for your walk. Not going to do nothing for your soul. You know, that way Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose their own soul? A lot of preachers so caught up and want to get, they want to have all these. Oh, it's nothing wrong with having nice stuff. Nothing wrong with having nice stuff. But when the stuff take you away from Christ, that's when it becomes a problem. You can have a nice home, nice clothes, drive a nice car, you know. And people say, well, where you put your tools in your car? You got this nice car. I said, it's God's car, and God give me work. What am I going to do, carry the tools on my back, you know? So, and I still keep it good. You have to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, say, look, I received the gift of salvation. I'm studying the Bible, and I want to be baptized. And say, well, I would like to be baptized in Jesus' name. You got to do that because you don't want to get there. When you get to there, and they have a pool in the, they may have a pool in the private room in the church building, or they may have the pool, the baptismal pool in the altar. Some churches have a church building have the baptismal pool that you have to lift up a door or cover, and it's in the center of the altar. Our church over here has the baptismal pool is in the altar, you know. And once you get there, the pastor might say, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you answer, yes, I do. And other things they're going to ask you. And then they go on and say, well, are you ready to be baptized? You say, yes, I'm ready to be baptized. And so on. You know, you go through baptismal classes and stuff and all that stuff. I got a teaching on that. A teaching on baptismal class. All of us preachers lead. We have teachings on that to baptize people and tell them what the reason why they're getting baptized and so on. Well, but the person may tell, well, once you're ready to baptize, they say, well, they want to tell you to baptize you in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's not the way you want to be baptized. So you want to be baptized according to Acts 2 and 38. You understand? They might want to quote Matthew 28 and 19. No, that's not the way you want to baptize. You're not going to baptize in titles. You want to be baptized in the name. In the name, not in titles. You want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So make that clear. And if the pastor says they don't baptize in the name of Jesus, don't get mad with them and say, well, my pastor told me I heard a preacher. No, don't do that, because they might bring you back. That pastor might resign. He may die. And you may take on this gospel anointing so well that somebody hear you and say, well, you know that fellow that got baptized here 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Man, he's an awesome preacher, man of God, woman of God, whoever she is, whoever the person is, whatever your gender are. And why don't we ask him? He don't have a church yet. But if they find out that you are disrespecting the pastor, they might not want to call you back to be the preacher or even come and preach a service at the church. You know, so leave with good terms. Don't burn the bridge that you might have to walk back over, okay? And if that's the way they're baptized, then you'll find a church, a pastor that will baptize you the way according to Acts 2 and 38, and then invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and so on, even your enemies, because you want them to know that you have given your life completely. You're not just saying this thing. You have given your life completely over to Christ Jesus, okay? And invite them to come, because this is will be your new birthday. The day that you get baptized will be your new birthday. And you want witnesses to the greatest occasion in your life. I tell you, at the time I think about when I get, sometimes I'll be just weeping. I say, Lord, I can't even believe that you saved me and baptized me and changed me. You know, all of these feelings go through me. And sometimes I'll be sitting down, I would just start weeping, not crying, weeping, to see how God could just take a wretch like me and change my life. You know, so once you get baptized, you're going down that pool we call a liquid pool in the water. You may be at the lake or the ocean, and you are declaring to the people there that the witnesses that you have given your life completely to Christ, and that you are leaving this sinful lifestyle you have in that watery grave. So you're going down that liquid grave, declaring and decreeing that you are going to be living for Christ, new life. And you come back out that grave in the righteousness of God that we talked about in the Word. Okay, you came coming back in that to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel, and get yourself involved. Don't be a spectator, but be a participator. Participate in whatever's going on in the church. When I got to the church, I was like a janitor, because I was so excited that God had chosen me to be part of his body. I was doing everything, fixing the toilet, fixing the sink. I was doing everything. And I was happy too. I wasn't getting no pay. I wouldn't get no check from the church, but I was happy doing it. You know, if something going around with a toilet or a sink or something, the pastor says, get Brother Dave. Go get Brother Dave. And wherever I'm in the building, they would come, Brother Dave, something in the ladies' room, in the men's room, the church room, bathroom, all that stuff, because the church had several bathrooms. And, you know, they would tell me, this sink is blocked up, the drain is blocked up, the water comes up in the floor. I said, okay. No problem. I go in my truck and get the tool, and I go to, because that's ministry too. A lot of people take ministry is only when you get up on the pulpit and you got the microphone in your hand or on your ear. But I thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation. For those that heard this word today, near and far, especially my apostle over there in Guyana, thank God for you, Apostle David, an apostle in Kenya. We thank God for you. We know you're listening. So we are just thanking God and praising God for Apostle Stewart. And I thank God for Minister Jones, Prophetess Kershey, Brother Deacon Fraser, thank God for you. Thank God for my wife, Nancy. And thank God for Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington. We thank God and pray God continue to watch over them and keep them safe and secure and keep them focused on the kingdom. So for now, we're going to just open the line if anybody wants to share. If you want to share, you can share. If you don't want to share, that's fine too. But we thank God that you were here today to hear this word that God gave us for his church. The line is open.
God bless you, Apostle Calendar. I enjoy the word and every video that you send me. I thank God for this man. Such a powerful word. Wow, man, powerful word. There's so many scriptures go through your head thinking about what you were saying. I was telling somebody the other day.
Hold on a minute, my computer just cut on. Go ahead.
I was telling somebody the other day that, you know, I said, you know, the reason why the word of God is not like it move power as it used to, because God, man have made God's word be a none effect with their own doctrine. Doctrine of man, doing what they want to do and coming up with their own doctrine. They have followed the word of God to be none effect. Won't preach the whole full of gospel. Counsel of God and have called the word of God to be a none effect because of what they have done in the body of Christ. And they said, I was thinking about that when you were saying what you were saying, that you were also bringing some points and you were preaching some good words, man. I tell you, the word was good. I told every bit of, you know, and I was thinking about what the word of God said. He said, my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves. Pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and hear their land. And I was just thinking about, I tell someone that the other day, I said, he was talking to the church when he said that my people, because his people are the people that have received the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And you have, in this time now, you got, you know, you people go to church every Sunday, they are working. Operating office, and you got even gospel artists. They got a whole form of it. You know, sing, shout, dance, speak in tongues, but they're not living what they preach. That's the hour we're living in. We really have to really pray that we get in that place, that we go to perfection, that we can do the will of God, because there's just so much going on, so many doctrines that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, man, you're misled. You're just getting led. You won't have a chance. Gonna have a chance with the enemy is doing it and the way he's coming. He's just coming down with this bringing confusion and division, you know. And so you just really got to pray and put the whole armor of God on you. The whole armor, we need the whole armor, man. This hour, because I mean, it's getting serious. So even down for our children, that's how they get full of God, because the kids don't have a chance if they don't get the Holy Ghost. And my prayer that God. So help our leaders really get focused and help our children that they be filled with the Holy Ghost. They have help because they trying to push these agendas and they really working hard to push it through with an order to do away with money. And there's so much happening so fast. Revelation is really filling itself. And we really have to get serious about God, like you said earlier. Really, you know, so you've been all the years and preaching, I keep reading the same message. Thank God for praise God, his word that, you know, give us time to get it right, you know, because I know time is running out for all of us, and we really have to get in a place where God can really move and use us in the way he want to do it. And so I just thank God for the word. I've been encouraging Apostle Karen and all the men and women of God, apostles, ministers, evangelists, prophets. I'll be encouraged. Let's continue praying for each other that we'll do the will of God and walk in his calling. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. Thank you so much. Lord, I taught this message in 2014, I believe. And after I found that I wasn't working this morning, the Lord just said, well, sir, I said, well, I wasn't clean. I had enough time to run the Bible to look for something. And he told me to go through my notebooks. And when I went through my notebooks, that's the thing that jumped off my jump off the page to me. It says, preach on repentance, you know. You know, so I decided to bring that up. And it really touched my heart, too, today, you know, because so many, this is a time that we're living in that we need to really seek God's face, seek his face, and repent, you know, and really turn from our evil ways. And he said this in the word so much that if we amend our ways, that means if we stop doing what we've been doing, living how we've been living, acting out and talking and carrying on the way we've been carrying on, he said he would allow us to dwell in that land. I said, wow. All we have to do, if you want to be prosperous, if you want to be successful in Christ Jesus, then stop doing the stuff of the world. Stop doing the stuff of the world. See, I don't care too much for the stuff of the world. I'll tell the truth. I'm not moved by it. My granddaughter told me the other day, she said, Grandpa, you don't go nowhere at all. I said, where to go? I've done all that stuff them people out there fussing about now. What making them feel happy? I did all that stuff already, and I ain't find no happiness in it. I was excited about it when I was doing it, but I realized it didn't add nothing to me. You know, it didn't add nothing to my walk, to my life. So I'm not going after it anymore. When I'm here, I study my word. I study my word. I may watch a secret agent movie on a computer. I'm watching one movie now called the Survival of the Survival of Something, and the President movie about the President, and it's a powerful movie. It had no cussing or none of that stuff, but you know, and I like it. So I do. I watch that show, and then when I stop, I go into my word, and this is what God is calling for us to do. He's calling for us to really study the word, be the word. So, Leland, thank you so much, Minister Jones. Thank you for your comment. Good, very good comment. Thank God for that. Yeah. So. The line is open.
Hey, Boss Cam, you gotta look at too. We had an hour. You got different churches arising. You got a holy church and you got the harlot church. And so everybody
in
church.
Everybody yeah, that's right. Church, that's right.
I told later the other day because I try to witness as much as I can when I'm out here on the road, and it just hurt me sometimes. But you got people, you can tell that God has put double bait and a steel cutlass on a lot of people because you got people that smoking cigarettes saying they say and cussing. And I'm like, wait a minute, man. I told later I tried to say, wait a minute now, man. I ain't trying to be funny and I ain't trying to judge it. I said, now remember this now, God. Both of us are already judged. So, you know, I know that's what you're going to say. Because if God going to do what he's going to do, each and every man that don't do what he say, do. I said,
right.
You're a child of God. Ain't nobody a temple of God. So why would you put, you got Jesus in you, and you putting everything, cigarettes on top of Jesus? Oh, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, you said you're a child of God, though. I said, how you going to be a child of God, and he's living, and he's going to be living. You know your body temple of God. Yeah, I know that. Okay, if you know that, why are you smoking and cussing? Well, you know, God got to. I said, well, Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things for Christ. He said, can't all the kill for me because he killed. So you're not going to put anything in your body to do, anything you want to do and say you're a child of God. You can't do that. I said, Romans 6:1 say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abide? God forbid. But you already, when you work and your body is in you, and you buried with Christ, and your body's already, and you dead, you know, your old man, they got no business doing nothing in this body. You know, and then if you do
that's
have
right.
those flesh or appetite, then the Bible says these kinds come through fast and praying. Some stuff we got to fast from, like me. I said about a couple of days this week. Maybe that's correct. I don't want to throw nothing out there. And I fast from social media. I said, Lord, I'm going to take this sacrifice. I'm not going to get on Facebook for a couple of days, and I'm going to fast from it. And I did that, yeah, but I'm working on myself. The Bible says, to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And that means fear, because fear, number one, we don't know when Jesus is coming. And then we don't, the Bible says, even if righteous go scattered to make it in, and with trembling means, I got to keep, at all times, I got to make sure I can keep my garments in. The Bible says, I want to fear a heart, just see God. So, you know, we can't have no spot, wrinkle, or blemishes. So we got to continue always examining ourselves, even as men and women of God. We not as if
we're
preaching, and we know we quote the word, and it's a blessing that we know the word, you know, the truth. But then after we get to preaching, we still got to make sure we live in what we preach. I can preach all day, and I'm telling my quote about from A to Z. But when I get from preaching and say what I got to say, it's what I do after I get to say what I say. I live when people see me. Am I living the life? Is my conversation holy? When people talk to me, am I being slow to speak and swift to hear, and hear the Spirit of God and know what to say in time to witness? Am I led by the Spirit of God? I would say those that are led by the Spirit of God are the Son of God. Like I was telling the lady when I went to, I said, ma'am, everybody can't be a child of God. Romans 8:9 says, if you don't have a spirit, you're not a healed. I said this many times on your radio broadcast. You got to have the Spirit of God. You just can't claim God. Once you get salvation, you need the Holy Ghost. But Jesus would have never told Nicodemus, hey, you need to be born again of the Spirit. You got to be born again. Mm-hmm. I said, you see salvation. Paul said you got to go on to perfection. That means go on and receive the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, the Bible said once you see the Holy Spirit, then you receive power. Power comes with the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you don't have, you're not a child of God. Going to church is one thing. It's not wrong. It's not wrong going to church. Get your name on the church roll. But it's your name written in heaven. It's your name written in the Lamb Book of Life. I tell people all the time, don't just go to church. Make Jesus be a part of, let him be a part of your life in a real way. Don't let him a part of you like your tennis shoe, but you got now, we're in a generation now where they just making Christ be a part, like they going to the gym, or they as part of their curriculum, what they do every day. And it's not, they don't really have a relationship, but they just do it because they see everybody else doing it. They go to church, oh man, I give God, and you hear some people say, well, I'm going to get a man upstairs. They call him the man upstairs, you know. The way they talk, they don't get the Bible, and I'm gonna give them a little time, and then that shit. It don't work like that. You gotta submit your body. Romans 12:1 says, submit your body to living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's King James. That's got other translations too, but that's what it means. And so people don't understand that because we're in a generation now. You got some people that are searching for those that are searching for the will of God or searching for God's word. You got to seek God for yourself. You got to seek God. The Bible says, he'll give you passed out of his heart. And if you seek God, God will send you to the right people. And then God got people that he raised up, false prophets. God did. He in control. But what the word say, God said, can I find, God was looking for a false spirit to go out, a false prophet to go out. To the people. I believe God has set up some of these churches with these false prophets for the one that don't really want truth. Because God is in control. He controls death and hell. Everything can't move unless God allows to move. So I believe a lot of these preachers, these false prophets are up because they don't want God. So God going to get away with it. He said, wherever you loose on earth, I loose in heaven. Whatever you find. So if you want evil, God will give you all the evil you want. But it comes damnation and then you get death after that. Eternal death. And so, you know, people that don't understand who they're dealing with. And then, you know, you were saying earlier, not only when you read, when you see salvation, you read John, Mark, and Luke, and all those scriptures, go to Genesis. Go start from the beginning. In the beginning, God. And then that'll help you, too, also to understand the Gospels and understand what happened and why, you know, that life is still repeating itself and why God said what he said. But I can't help myself. But I love you, man. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
We pray for all. We got to pray for each other. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but evil principalities. We dealing with sorcery. We up on you dealing with witchcraft and sorcery. Man, I was in every city I go to, Apostle County. I'm going to get off, but I'm not trying to re-preach another sermon. But I look at how the minds of people are, how the enemy is fighting all nations. The attack of people, this world and this realm and not knowing that. He said, my people are coming. He said, if you seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things we ask to God, will give you whatever you need that's in his will. Not what will he give us stuff that's in his will. And so the people have got away from seeking the will of God to seeking what they need in themselves. And that's why I say, lean not to your own understanding in all our ways and not as him. And the only way we're going to be able to see it, we need to see the power of God like never before and get this sorcery, this evil spirit, this evil that's over us, and it's and not over us, but over the world, that you can see it. It's so dark. It's getting so dark. People are losing their mind. Church cities up here now, like Philly W, people walking around like zombies. Man, we need to see the power of God. And so, you know, we got to really pray that God put us in a place and get us in a place to perfection that we can help people be free. Because God gave us power. He said he gave us power to tread upon serpents. Why are we not seeing the operation of power? You see the cult doing it, walking on wall, walking on water. You see them doing magic tricks and all that stuff. What the power of God of the church? What our power is? Something we doing that we need to find out from God. The church need to get back to the altar and find out from God. Lord, what are we doing that we can't see your power?
Yes.
What we need to do? I'm like, what are
yes,
leaders that who's seeking for God? Well, who? I'm trying to find out who's seeking for God. Where you at, Lord? I'm like, Moses, what a mountain there? I need to find a mountain where a tree at or something. Where you at? I need to go, where you at? Where you at, God?
I need,
are you hearing us? Are we too far away that we can't hear you no more? And then that's why we be lost. You know, and so that's why I'm praying, Lord, where you at? I need some superpower. I'm talking about turn me into an Avenger. I'm tired of seeing what the devil doing. I'm tired of seeing the devil take over the minds of our children, take over the minds of people and got people killing themselves and all this stuff. Man, I'm sick of what the devil do. I hate Satan, man. I hate him just like he hate me. Yeah, I'm telling you. But I love Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over everything he's doing.
Hallelujah.
Over everything. I plead the blood of Jesus over satanic powers, wickedness. The officers of Satan, I plead the blood of Jesus over everything that he's doing.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Father God said, whatever we plead is in his power. I plead the blood of Jesus over every attack you know, the enemy. Right now, in the name of Jesus. God, I bless you. I love you. Father, I can't help it. God bless you.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you for the fire, man. Thank you for the fire. May the Lord bless you and keep you safe on the highway that you go to and fro in safety. And even when you minister to those other people in the truck stop, that you be protected. The angels be surrounding you and keeping you safe, you know. Because you know that when you're preaching the truth and sharing the truth, that the enemy will come in and try to harm you, but we pray your protection always, 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 always when you are out there in the way, that you always make it back home to your family safe. In Jesus' name. The line is open. Thank you so much, Minister Jones. Well, Minister Jones, we're going to pray and close out. There's nobody, people on the line, but nobody's saying anything, so we're going to pray and close out. We just thank God, Father. We thank you and praise you, O God. We thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us today, O God, that you have fed us, Lord, that you allow us to come to your table, Lord God, and just sit and eat that you have prepared for us. Lord, we don't take it lightly when you feed us, O God. You give us bread from heaven. Lord, you equip us with the nourishment that our soul needs. We ask you, O God, to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. We thank you for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. We thank you for them to listen into this word today, Lord God. And thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser who came on. He comes on every day. Listen. We just thank you, Lord. We ask you that you continue to encourage him in his ministry. Lord, thank you for Brother Minister Jones that's here with us in his absence, his mother, prophetess. We just thank God for all those that come from time to time in fellowship with us, Lord. Father, but we're leaving this line now, but never your presence, O God. We ask you to continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath, Lord. Lord, we pray that you continue to make us the lenders and not the borrowers, O God. Father, we are thanking you that the blessings are about to overtake us, O God. The blessing that you have given to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And you said that his seed would even be blessed, Lord. We are the seeds of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Lord, we are being blessed even right now. We're
finances are coming to us so that we can be a blessing, Lord, that we can bless the widows, the fatherless, the mothers, the homeless, and the orphans. Lord, thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. Protect my wife as she's on the highway driving, going to pick up my granddaughter, bring her home, to get her hair done for graduation. Lord, we just pray right now. You gave her traveling mercy there and bring her and give her traveling mercy back. Now, Father, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Remember, Brother Deacon Fraser is on tonight. He comes on about 8 o'clock, 8:15, somewhere around there. His number is 712-432-3900. 712-432-3900. The access code is 308587 pound. 308587 pound. So we thank God for you all. Have a blessed evening. Safe. Even if you don't have to go, don't go. But if you have to go, pay attention to your surroundings. Remember, we're living in perilous times. A lot of serious things are happening now on the highways. There's so many deaths on the highways. Just pay attention at the malls. A lot of shootings, a lot of stabbings. Pay attention to your surroundings. Don't walk like if you don't know where you're going. Pay attention, even to the sounds. Listen to the sound that's coming behind you or before you or next to you. You know, you can pick up a lot of things you can pick up on from just hearing the sound. I know because I listen to sound. Even driving, sometimes I hear strange sounds. I turn off the music on my car, the worship music or the reggae music, whatever I'm listening to. I turn down the radio so I can hear the sounds outside. You know, pay attention to your surroundings. The life you save may be yours and your family's, okay? God bless you all. I love you, but remember, God loves you even more. God bless. Bye-bye.